The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, Kelly? What's happening?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Show's packed. Jason Weingarten will join us, talk baseball, specifically a couple division plays that he has made. Thoughts on the National League MVP race and the American League Rookie of the Year races, specifically. Anything else we can get to with him. Will Hill, with all of his baseball plays, draft plays, whatever he's got going. Mike Pritchard, our own. Mike Pritchard on the NFL. Ben Wilson on college baseball. Man, the Men's College World Series has been great. Finally, a couple games yesterday where they weren't as close as what has been the case. We'll get his thoughts on both games that take place today. Not elimination games. They could be elimination games. This is where the College World Series bracket gets fakakta, and it's kind of tough to explain to people. But if Wake or LSU lose, is it Wake or LSU or Wake or Wake or Florida lose today, it is not an elimination game. But if the other teams lose, then it is an elimination game. So there you go. We'll get into it. Florida, big favorite against TCU. Wake, a favorite against LSU. Wake and LSU might be the two best teams out there. So they're facing off again after Wake eked by LSU the other day. We'll get into all that with Ben Wilson. Drew Dinsick on the NBA draft. See if he has any tennis. By the way, I have one tennis play this morning. We split yesterday. So I have one tennis play this morning. Harriet Dart. Harriet Dart is the tennis play this morning. You can actually get her at a better price than I could. She's in plus money. Right now, I got her at very small minus money. So Harriet Dart is the play in tennis. That is the one play she's taking on. And Helena Kalinina. If your last name was Kalinina, would you name your daughter Angelina? Angelina Kalinina.
Probably not, but we're fading her.
Yeah, we're fading her with Harriet Dart. That's your tennis play. We'll see if Drew has any as well. So let us begin with the NBA draft, because this is a story now. And I have my own personal one from yesterday, and I must tell it because Kelly was privy to it. We have timestamps on all of this. But the big news is that the number two pick, the odds have shifted seismically. Are we allowed to use seismically there? I think we are. Yesterday, Brandon Miller was a pronounced, not a negligible dog at all. He was just shy of a $2 dog to go number two. He's now minus 400, even as high as minus 500 in some spots to go number two. And remember on this show yesterday, I was like, hey, JVT, Jonathan Montoba was on with us. I was like, is the only thing we know beyond Wembanyama that Scoot is going number two? And he was like, well, no, because this is where the markets and the reporting has, and I'll use my word, has dissonance. They don't jibe with each other at all. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. So we still know nothing beyond Wembanyama. And so yesterday, I'm watching the teams were. I'm watching Oral Roberts and TCU. I in-game undered that and got home. I'm watching college baseball. I in-gamed TCU -1.5. So I was rooting those in. And this is during the day on ESPN. And I got my nacho daddy for lunch, was eating that. Kelly, you and I had been on the phone. I was like, I got to go. I got to get some food. Got some food. Watch those go in. And so I left the TV on as I'm just lounging on the couch. And so at 2:47 p.m. Pacific yesterday, so it's not your standard SportsCenter starting time, but at 2:47 p.m., I text you immediately because Adrian Wojnarowski came on with Elle Duncan, and she was talking about, okay, how did these workouts go with the Charlotte Hornets? We had talked about it at length that Michael Jordan, who's selling the Hornets, was going to be on site for their final look, an additional look at both Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson as to what to do with the number two pick in the draft on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And Woj came out and said and he said it definitively. He's like, the Hornets solidified their position that they're going with Brandon Miller. They love Brandon Miller. Now, it was interesting wording because Woj has never, to Woj's credit, and by the way, let me raise my hand. I was the guy who bet Banchero last year number one. I bet it for basketball reasons. I've said it the whole time through. It didn't make sense to me why the Orlando Magic wouldn't go for the surest thing with that young core that they had. And it turned out to be Banchero. So this year, I'm listening to Woj, and Woj immediately says, and Woj, to Woj's credit this year, because a lot of people want to bust on him for getting it wrong last year, but to Woj's credit, he's never wavered off Brandon Miller going number two. Now, I was on vacation last week. I hadn't made a single NBA draft bet. But when he said it the way he said it yesterday, Kelly, I immediately go to a prominent book that lots of serious bettors will know what I'm talking about when I explain how this is done, where each bet that you make, you are limited to a dime of a win. And then you have to rebet it. So you can bet it to win a dime. They will move the odds on you. You can bet it to win a dime. They'll move the odds on you. They'll bet it to win a dime. They'll move the odds on you. But that's your limit. You keep doing it. I bet Brandon Miller four times right after that. And I texted you, at 2:47 p.m. or 2:50 p.m. I'll see the timestamp on it. But no, at 2:47 p.m. is when I texted you. 2:50 p.m. I bet Brandon Miller to go number two at plus 169, plus 160, plus 150, and plus 142. You then said to me, oh, Jonathan Givony, it's funny you say that, Jonathan Givony just put out a mock Brandon Miller's number two in his as well. So this is 11 minutes later now. I'm thinking I'm the only person globally that's seeing any of this. The plus 134 that I had moved it to with my bets is still there 11 minutes later. I bet it a fifth time at plus 134. So it's either going to be a really good night for me or it's going to be a really sucky night for me. I'd feel much more comfortable if the draft was tonight. Sadly, I have to wait till tomorrow night because there's a lot of time where all of this can change. But the reason that I'm going with Woj this year, unlike last year, is the same reason. I'm actually being consistent. It's never made basketball sense why the Hornets with LaMelo Ball wouldn't take Brandon Miller. You've got your point guard. Why wouldn't you take the best player on a team that was number one in the nation most of last year? And so that's where it is right now. And so Brandon Miller's minus 400. So again, this is how the draft is now. It's all that. Now, keep in mind, thank goodness, and again, serious bettors will know where I'm talking about here, this isn't one of these Vegas shops that think you're taking a shot at them when you do this. This is, you just have the information before I did. What was amazing about it, though, Kelly, is it's Woj in broad daylight saying it definitively, being corroborated by Givony, and I felt like I was the only human being on earth betting it at the time.
It was weird, because I was sitting there like all afternoon tracking it too. I was freaking out when you sent me that video because I was like randomly doing the dishes and I had like two TVs on. I'm like, where did I miss this at?
I rewound and sent Kelly the clip of it.
Yeah. I was like sitting there watching. So yeah, no, it was a good catch. And yeah, they all lined up. You know, Givony's mock draft, Wasserman's over at Bleacher Report just came out today. He's got his final mock draft, he's calling it, and Brandon Miller number two there. So they're all lining up there. I'm with you. I hope it was tonight.
I wish it was now. That's right. This could be awful tomorrow. Who knows?
I've got bets going back months now on this, so that would be really nice to get home.
Because you have them 8-1, right?
Plus 850.
Plus 850.
And then Scoop +550 to go third.
Good for you.
So, yeah, it could be a big night. Let's hope. I think it's what was most interesting about it yesterday, to your point of feeling like, why you feeling like you're the only person? And I put one more in yesterday at plus 130, kind of when you and I were texting. But that was, you know, to your point, I'm like looking at these odds, and it's like it hit a point where they stopped moving. Like it moved after that. After that hit by Woj, it started to move. But like DraftKings, FanDuel, PointsBet, they all paused for, I would say, about a 3-4 hour period where it was like Scoot minus 140 to minus 150 still.
Interesting.
And Brandon Miller about even money.
Hmm.
And it paused there for a while, and then it steamed up overnight.
Then it went crazy overnight.
And then it went crazy overnight, and we're seeing, yeah, like you said, minus $4, minus $5 now.
Yeah, and again, this is just to sort of tell you, again, for a guy who got beat on the NFL draft this year, we were very open about getting beat on that. These drafts are amazing betting vehicles when they go your way. And for the NFL, it went our way year after year after year after year until this year. And so hopefully this works out and it's a big night. And obviously that number is gone.
And it's gone, and I would not bet it now.
Like, this absolutely is, not.
Like, there is still...
We might not be right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that is... especially with, I didn't really understand the workout thing yesterday, right, Gil? I talked about that.
We did,
like,
yeah.
It felt very odd that you're having these two guys come in for a private workout 4 days before the draft. And then what? All of a sudden, we're talking about 24 hours later. Oh, okay. We definitely know where we're going.
Like, could be a smokescreen. Could be.
Right. It just feels all smoky where it's. Like, if that was – my whole thought was it's a smokescreen to bring both these guys in because you're just trying to get someone to offer you the best possible trade proposal, right? And that makes sense. What doesn't make sense, though, is then less than 24 hours later, you're like, all right, never mind. We got our guy. Like, we don't need any trade offers.
I'm just going to go with my basketball compass, right? Then my North Star is going to be what makes most sense basketball, both last year and this year. I do also want to say, though – you know, we haven't said a good PSA about the NBA draft. This applies to all drafts. But remember, if you're like a first-time draft bettor, that different markets will allow you almost the same bet at different prices. Books are very funny how they will not see the incremental difference in some of the things that they're doing. So if you have a certain player and you're doing a draft position, right? Let's say it's Jairus Walker, Cam Whitmore, Amen Thompson, whoever it is. You could see it to go top five at a plus, you know, let's throw out a number, plus 150. Then you can also see under 5.5 at plus 180. So obviously you bet the plus 180 because it's the same exact bet. It's just that books have fallen asleep on changing those numbers. So be clever about that. There's multiple markets at lots of books where one bet is clearly better than the other. Don't make the mistake of just minimizing your gains.
Yeah. I feel like that's our most common and important pro tip on a numbers game here recently with all these books.
Without question. I mean, if we could give one PSA on a draft, that's it. Drew Dinsick's thoughts on the NBA draft, where he stands. Remember, he had Boncaro last year as well, gave a passionate speech as to why he was going to play him number one, and that worked out. His thoughts next. Numbers game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And then you start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. If physically located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Let me give another example of the public service announcement that we're trying to get for drafts just before the break. So if you're convinced now that Brandon Miller does go number two, and it's what? It's minus 400, let's say. You can find other markets, Kelly. Well, you'll see an exact order, right? Wembanyama 1, Miller 2, Scoot 3. And the number will be less than minus 400. Now, it won't be like, you know, minus 120 or anything.
Yeah.
But it will be cheaper. And so, I mean, yes, is there a scenario where that 1-2-3 wouldn't happen? Yeah, but we kind of feel like that's the order if that happens.
Or like third overall, you could just bet Scoot minus 280.
Or you could do that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the point of all this is with drafts, make sure you're maximizing your profit or minimizing what you're laying on these.
What was that one? I got to pull up that picture I sent you yesterday of Caesars here in town at one point because it was like they had no idea what to do, where it was Scoot minus 250 and Brandon Miller Brandon Miller plus 120. It was like the spread was so huge on that money line. You're like, they have no idea what to do right now.
Drew Dinsick, ladies and gentlemen, is the host of not one but two podcasts, is the Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick and his buddy Andy Molitor, and of course NBC Sports Bet the Edge. He, of course, came on this show 1 year ago, the morning of the NBA draft. It might have been the morning before, but that week for sure. He gave a passionate speech as to why he thought Paolo Banchero would go number one. He joins us now at whale_capper. How you doing, Drewski? What's happening?
Good, man. That was an amazing week last week, and you know, good to be on this side of the counter for NBA draft week, because the run up, the ramp up, the speculative, the dynamic nature of who's picking where, and you know, how often these top five picks get traded, it makes it extremely complicated to try to handicap. And you know, there's a lot of leaky you know, a lot of leaky ships out there. And if you're battling inside information on top of trying to kind of pinpoint this complicated system, then it gets messy in a hurry. And, you know, not to kind of recount the Paolo part of that, but to kind of piggyback on what you guys were talking about off the top, finding more unique ways to, you know, you have information, what do you do with it? You know, Paolo on the morning of the draft before the Woj tweet was like 3-1, something like that. I know people that got massive liquidity down on Jabari Smith to go third at like 25-1 mm-hmm. that day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, there's something that doesn't square here. And, you know, you can absolutely find ways to get, you know, the big time payouts on the random stuff like that. And, you know, so I would definitely kind of almost always advocate for, you know, finding a way to get a bigger price, because really the uncertainty is what drives most of the, you know, the real deal, you know, ways to make money on draft stuff.
So where do you, how do you feel like this goes 1, 2, 3? And then beyond that, what do you think, you know,
I'm pretty much out of the 2 and the 3 market. It felt like a coin flip until it didn't. And so, I just kind of sat on the sidelines and didn't really have a ton of exit liquidity opportunities. Once, it seemed like the decision was made late yesterday afternoon that, you know, Miller is going to go too. You know, doesn't really surprise me that Charlotte was wishy-washy in this process, because there's like 10 decision makers, and, you know, Michael Jordan is sort of the
looming
the final
specter.
Say.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's the looming specter, but right now he has final say, but on July 1st, he hands the keys to the next owner as majority owner. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's very, very unclear, you know, who ultimately gets the say here. You know, GM like Scoot, Michael Jordan likes Brandon Miller, incoming owners lean Scoot, but don't really know what they're doing. So yeah, I mean, it all kind of checks out when you kind of put the puzzle pieces together, and it seems like Michael Jordan's made his decision. He's going to take Brandon Miller. And I guess the only criticism I can lob at this whole process is apparently there were offers on the table for real deal players. And the fact that you weren't willing to listen to, you know, what the New Orleans Pelicans potentially had to offer more sincerely is a little bit surprising to me. It doesn't necessarily, because one of the reasons this year's draft is so uncertain, everybody that missed out on the Wimby sweepstakes, they kind of don't have an excuse to continue to punt for the future. They need to get good players and win now, or people are losing jobs. And for those reasons, taking a shot on a high ceiling prospect who has 1 year of G League experience is not as appealing as having a guy with a couple of years of bona fide, performing well at the NBA level. And so I think really pick 4 and pick 5, for that matter, are all, in my opinion, like, we're up for grabs for teams who are willing to do sign in trades to send, bona fide players, bona fide vets to these franchises that are not going to get Wimby. I still think it's a lot of the tea leaves I'm seeing, particularly around picks 4 and 5, don't necessarily spell that these teams are convicted on taking a young project.
What do you think you know, though? Like, if somebody wants to bet this, yeah. So I mean, no, and all of that is right. I didn't mean to dismiss that, Drew. What I'm saying is, if someone's betting this right now, then with all of that as a backdrop, because I would agree with you, and especially about the Hornets point, like the notion that people weren't at any of these positions ready to make a Zion trade is amazing to me. And I've said it before, I was like, you could say all you want about his injuries and all about the off-court stuff, but he's still elite when he plays. That's mm-hmm. enough for me to want to win now and make that trade. But right now, I mean, Cam Whitmore is a great example. Let's just start with him. We thought he was a 4th or the 5th pick in the draft. We thought he was definitely top 5. Then yesterday or the day before, he drifted, and you're saying, like, I don't know, maybe he won't even go top 10. Now he's back to being a favorite to go top 5. Like, where do you stand on him? What do you have in pocket?
If Whitmore goes 5, I'm going to be pretty bummed. That's going to hurt. I was part of the momentum that pounded that over 5.5 at some pretty awesome prices. The fact that those are now kind of quasi available is frustrating because I was pretty happy and pretty proud of myself yesterday after those markets disappeared. And it's like, oh, nice. We got it. A good one. This is going to be a winning draft. I don't see any, or at least what I know is that it's one of the Thompsons at four. If the Rockets make that pick, there's a whiff in the air, spidey sense, I guess, that the Rockets are pushing a lot of we love Amen in sort of the spirit of, again, like if there is another team with a bona fide guy that's they're willing to sign and trade to you to go up to four to get Amen, then I think they're trying to drum up interest in that regard. And because, you know, at least from what I've heard and from, you know, sort of the immediate reports after they worked out with the Rockets is they had grades that were very similar and or maybe Alsar's was higher from the Rockets internally. And so if they decide not to, you know, take the player that they graded higher, that would be strange. And so in the back of my head, and I think Alsar is still live to go for if the Rockets can't find a trade partner. I don't think it's at all decided that Amen is the fourth overall pick to the Rockets, certainly. They may ultimately end up going that way because somebody in the organization makes some impassioned case that he's the better of the two. I am holding some big prices on Alsar 4. I've been at war with someone. This is maybe a little interesting storytelling wise, and you can kind of use this context to try to figure out what's going on here. But there's one place where you can get as many clicks as you want for 500 a click. And I've been pretty aggressively betting Thompson under 5.5 in the plus 300 range. And every time I bet it, it goes back.
Which Thompson?
Alsar under 5.5 at plus 300. It's plus 330. Bet it down to plus 300. flip open the screen an hour. It's back at 330. Mm-hmm. Right. Like just somebody is consistently like using my entry into that market as liquidity to bet Alsar over 5.5. At minus 3, whatever it is. And I don't understand it because I think Alsar certainly is still live for 4. I think he potentially goes 5 as well. And, I think the insider reports out of Detroit were pretty clear that Whitmore was not in the picture, which is why I'm so shocked that the Whitmore, top 5 has come back to life out of nowhere. I think at this point, at least if it goes, if 4-5 goes Amen Alsar, I'm in good shape. If it goes Alsar Amen, I'm in incredibly good shape. If it goes Amen Walker, I'm a little better than break even. And if Whitmore goes in the top 5, I'm having a miserable night tomorrow.
And Kelly will be rejoicing. That whole time we're talking about Whitmore, Kelly's dying back there.
He's on the Whitmore.
Whitmore.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right. Well, we'll get any other NBA draft thoughts from Drew. Also, anything NFL-wise that he has bet so far. If he has any tennis, Drew Dinsick on the other side, continuing with us on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early, coming out June 29th, just 8 days from now. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets or season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're talking football next week on the show. Put in my... my plays. Adam Burke texted me, Kelly. He's like, "Hey, Gil, can I get your picks finally, man?" So I put in my football picks for the guide, divisions, wild card.
Oh, they just wanted you.
Yeah,
to take
yeah.
A
well, you could do other stuff too, but you know, the thing we do every year, where we put in our division winners, our wild cards, and our AFC and NFC champion and eventual Super Bowl champion. I was by and large pretty chalky this year, with the normal suspects, the usual suspects were, you know, the NFC South had a lot of variance to
right? Yeah.
But like generally speaking, I wasn't like surprising myself with anything.
Can the NFC South just be relegated for a year?
It could
or something
be.
Like that.
Yeah, we could get nice. Make a call.
Yeah.
Drew Dinsick rejoins us before we get back to the NBA draft. Have you made any recent NFL bets, sir?
When the Djokovic liquidity hit the accounts, I went on a shopping spree for prices, for divisions,
Remember what you bet?
I'm on the Packers train now to win the NFC North. I'm on the Matt LaFleur train to win Coach of the Year.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because one of my instincts was to bet the Packers over. I'm curious what your reasoning is, because a lot of mine, I hearken back to my childhood. This is going to be, you know, oh, here we go with an 80s and 90s story. But, you know, it used to be in the NFL back in the day where if you were a backup quarterback, right, salaries weren't such that you had to play immediately, right? You got to hold the clipboard for years. So I'll take Washington as the team that I grew up on, right? Mark Rippon got to hold the clipboard for years, ended up winning a Super Bowl MVP. Stan Humphries ended up holding the clipboard for years. He ended up taking the Chargers to the Super Bowl. Trent Green, if it weren't for the injury that allowed Kurt Warner to have his career, Trent Warner became a very viable starter in the NFL. He got to hold the clipboard in Washington for years. Jordan Love has gotten to hold the clipboard for years. I think the assumption that he sucks is a wrong one.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he sucks. He's in a system that's not all that dissimilar from your Niners, who make, you know, average quarterbacks look great and make below average quarterbacks look passable. So, you know, I think realistically, just in general, the system that they have in place, the weapons that exist, the offensive line strength that they have with the kind of the way that team is constructed, it all affords him the opportunity to, at a bare minimum, perform at sort of league average level. And so I think expecting him to kind of come into that range is reasonable. And then the rest of the roster is just very good. I think if you had, the only hole I can poke in the entire team is that they retain Joe Barry as the defensive coordinator. And he pretty clearly does not know how to work with these pieces, at least in terms of, you know, what he's got strength wise defensively. And, you know, if the Packers defense is as underwhelming as they were last year, I think you can hang a lot of the issues around his shoulders, much more so than you're going to be able to kind of point to Jordan Love as not being able to take a step forward. And I think your baseline expectations for Jordan Love this year should be, you know, he's going to be an uneven performance. He'll have some weeks where he looks amazing, some weeks where he's making mistakes because he's relatively inexperienced. I think that's fine. But again, if you kind of take all of the data at the end of the year and he's performing at a league average level, considering, you know, basically just considering how weak the NFC is overall, how weak the NFC North is in particular, I think it's only going to take 10 wins to win that division. And I think Packers have enough talent on the roster outside of, outside of the quarterback position to, you know, throw their hat in the ring for at least top two considerations, certainly better than 5-1. And again, like if they do well, if Jordan Love looks passable, if he's in any way better than Levy average, then I think Matt LaFleur is going to get a ton of the credit for that. So him as coach of the year in the 20-1 range was an easy bet as well.
Getting back to our way of betting the same thing in different ways, kind of a theme here. We'll save the other football for next week when we talk more football. Any tennis today, or have you bet anything for Wimbledon?
I only had one big one today, and it's already in the books, so apologies to the audience, but I had the games over sets in Musetti-Shelton. That was a really good one. Fun match. Shelton's going to be fun to continue to play on grass, even though he's out of London. Queens is just a cool tournament. If you're not watching, I don't know what to tell you. Like, grass tennis is exciting. It's interesting. It's very, very different than clay. You don't really need to know sort of it's like going from watching like long form chess to speed chess.
Yes.
And the Queens itself is such a cool setting. Weather in the UK has been uncharacteristically beautiful so far,
with the buildings right on top of the courts. It's just such a picturesque thing. Yeah.
Yes. It's, smack dab in the middle of London. Cool. The crowd energy is always really good too. So, very much enjoying, the London scene. I have a small play on Korda to beat, Frank Tiafoe later, but, that's more just for kicks.
Anything Wimbledon that you've bet so far?
Nope. Let me look actually. No, I'm out of Wimbledon market. I went through a pretty detailed handicap once the prices came up, and I don't have a strong reason to go against the chalk on the men's side yet. And then on the women's side, I think realistically the prices looked fair to me. And you know, if you want to have a three-headed monster at the top of the board between, you know, Iga, Rybakina, and Sabalenka, I think that's fair. Picking one of those three and just riding it like a horse is also mm-hmm. fair. Yep. I mean, it's the class at the top of the women's board is really all that matters to me. I don't think you're going to see anyone kind of emerge and surprise on grass, at least with the strength at the top this year.
No Anjabur play for you this year, in other words.
No, I mean, the prices were 10 to 1. I thought they should be closer to 8, so there wasn't enough of an edge there to go bananas.
Let's go.
The one real quick player to mention, because I keep forgetting to say it out loud, is Petra Kvitova looks pretty good. And she's going to win. She may win Berlin this week. I think she's going to win Eastbourne next week.
She has great grass pedigree. Great grass pedigree.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, she's absolutely one whose price is kind of in the 20s range when it should be in the low teens. So that's one that stands out. I haven't played it yet, but before she wins a title on the grass run-up, I think I need to have some in my pocket.
Okay, let's go back to the draft for a few minutes. All right, so let's say it's Wembanyama 1, and it's, we know it's Wembanyama 1. Let's say it's Brandon Miller 2. Let's just go with that assumption. Just a basketball fan standpoint. I've got the Brandon Miller bets. Obviously, I hope those hit. Once those hit, my night is done. At that point, and Kelly and I were talking about this off air, and he feels the same way because he's got a Brandon Miller bet. It's like, we're like, okay, at that point, uplift the NBA at that, you know, just like, let's see some great basketball moves. What do you think Portland does at 3 at that point?
Man, I mean, I'm assuming that there will be some weak offers for the 3. I don't know that you're going to get, you know, I don't know that you're going to get a blue chip player like a Jaylen Brown or a Zion Williamson, at just for a, you know, kind of a bare swap there. As fun as it would be to see a Scoot Henderson on the likes of the Celtics or the Pelicans, I think that Portland probably holds the 3, probably makes the pick. And I think they're in a staring contest daring Dame to ask out so they don't look like the bad guys moving him. I think they recognize and correctly recognize that the future of their franchise is building through the youth that they have on that roster. So the likelihood that he goes into the season as a Blazer temporarily seems the most, most likely outcome for me. And I think that's fine. My guess is Scoot goes to Portland and then, the next piece of the puzzle for the Blazers is moving Dame for assets and picks, sometime before the trade deadline.
Mm. Okay. So in the end, you feel like there will be no trades whatsoever at the top, no kind of real drama.
At least considering that it hasn't happened already and that we don't have sincere, real, credible rumors that it will. The rumors that you hear out there all sound like stuff Portland's making up.
That's great.
Like, that's kind of the read I get, I guess.
Sounds like they generated themselves. Well, Drew, always interesting. Good luck with all your bets in the NBA draft. It doesn't appear it's going to be, well, obviously not at number one. It's not going to be as dramatic. Last year was last year, and it was amazing with Paolo Banchero. Good luck with everything. I know Kelly's against you on the Cam Whitmore thing, but we appreciate it nonetheless, man.
Yeah, I'll allow Cam Whitmore to go 5 as long as I can get Alsar. The surprise, the shock, Alsar goes 4.
Right. Deal.
That would make my night.
Sold.
Deal right there. Drew Dinsing, everybody, at @whale_capper. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, best luck, guys.
Both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports. Check them out where all podcasts are available. And even threw in a Petra Kvitova Wimbledon call. Petra Kvitova, who won Wimbledon back in 2011 and 2014. Ancient history, but she has shown some flashes here of late as well. So there's a long shot play in Wimbledon. But I agree with him generally. Chuck McChuckerson, both the men's and the women's side. We'll come back. College baseball with Ben Wilson next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Boy, the dancing on this Sky Rizzi commercial is just cringy. Oh, I'm sorry. We're back on it. Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. That's $50. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Ben Wilson standing by. I want to bring in Ben for this, but because yesterday a couple things happened in baseball, and we'll get to college baseball here, but just from a rules standpoint that were unbelievable. If you watched the Rangers game last night, Rangers playing, you know, it was a 6-6 game last night, and Elvis Andrus on a hit. So Elvis Andrus was coming home against the Rangers for the Chicago White Sox. This is the bottom of the eighth. And play at the plate, ruled out. Catcher makes a play, Hines makes a play, ruled out at the plate. Goes to review. This is the Buster Posey rule, right? Where Buster Posey got his knee blown out, three-time World Series champion, MVP. Buster Posey got his... So it's the whole rule of baseball changed with the catcher. Anyway, Bruce Bochy is the common theme here. He's the manager of the Rangers. They reverse it and give it a safe call because of catcher interference. Catcher blocking the plate, the Buster Posey rule. And so the White Sox, by the way, the Rangers retired. Of course they are 1-2-3 in the top of the ninth, and the White Sox win it 7-6. Bochy called this the worst thing he's ever seen in his life managing baseball. So that was the first one where you're like, what exactly is the catcher supposed to do then?
Right.
Elvis Andrus is coming barreling in. What is he supposed to do? Now, I thought most people would think that's the worst thing you could see in baseball on a given day. Not true. College baseball yesterday. So again, I was saying I was watching the TCU Oral Roberts game because I had the in-game under. Shout out to those books that actually allow you to bet in games on these college baseball games because they're few and far between. And by the way, the one I did it, you have to like constantly try over and over again before they accept it. It's like a whole thing.
Also, quick shout out to Elvis Andrus for his like 40th season in Major League Baseball.
That's a great point. Elvis said, I'm going to win this race. I believe Stan Verrett always says. So it's late in the game. I'm like not a lock to win my in-game under at 9.5. I think it's like the sixth inning or the seventh. Don't hold me to the inning. But TCU's having a big inning. I think they're already up 6-1. And a very strange double play that Oral Roberts pulls off in the infield where they tag the runner in between second and third. And then the infielder who's, you know, lunging for the tag of the runner who's going to third, TCU runner seeing that guy's coming in and know he's going to get tagged, he plants himself at third base. He's like, well, at least I'll be safe. The guy on Oral Roberts is making the tag, barrels in while he's lunging to make the tag, then barrels in to the TCU runner who's standing on third base, pushes him off the bag, tags him, and after like a 10-minute review, they're like, he's out. So apparently, now I've watched 5 bajillion hours of baseball in my life. I had no idea you were allowed to barrel into the dude at third base and then, I'm sorry, you're off the bag, you're out. Ben Wilson joins us, everybody, VSiN Zone. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben_Wilson_1. Ben, did you see that yesterday?
Yes, where Austin Davis literally got plowed. I mean, he just got destroyed off the bag. It reminded me of Kelly would probably know, the old video games. It was like, I know there was like the NFL, it was like NFL Blitz was the football version of it, but there was a baseball version where you could literally just punch people if they were safe at third base. And it was one of those games. It was one of those very primitive video games that we would have played in the late 90s.
That's awesome. Anyway, TCU goes on to win it 6-1, but that helped unders for sure in that game, in game or pre-flop. This World Series has been awesome, Ben. What futures do you still have alive?
Well, TCU 40-1 from February. We are somehow, some way, and you know, with watching the last two games, it's just made the opener of the College World Series that much more frustrating because TCU could have been in such a more optimal spot from a pitching health standpoint, but they blow the 3-run lead to Oral Roberts in their first game. They've had to scratch and claw their way back. They knocked out Virginia, knocked out Oral Roberts yesterday. And what makes the game-to-game handicaps tougher now that we get this late, right? We have 4 teams left. 2 of the teams are just a win away. The other 2 have to win twice to get to the College World Series, the actual championship series here. So it's tough as it, most of these coaches, and if you watch any of the post-game press conferences, a lot of these coaches are just like, yeah, I have no idea who I'm throwing tomorrow. We're going to figure it out. And it makes it very difficult from a pregame standpoint, especially for these teams who have ridden through the elimination bracket, because they've used everybody. And so if you look, say, at the, you know, the Wake Forest LSU matchup, for instance, and so I have Wake Forest on the top plus 240. TCU is my big 140-1 on the bottom half. They have to beat Florida twice. So LSU has the national pitcher of the year in Paul Skeens. And basically, when Paul Skeens pitches, LSU is a completely different team from how you handicap them versus when he is not pitching. The LSU somehow, I have no idea how they did this, but they shut out Tennessee yesterday in basically a bullpen game.
Well, I was going to interrupt you. I was going to say that, but you never know, because yesterday LSU had no one supposedly going. And Tennessee was punchless.
And I love Tennessee as a dog yesterday. I had bet them in the first their first elimination game when they beat Stanford, had them again yesterday, and that did not go well. Did not even score on a bad LSU bullpen. But the example for today, LSU head coach Jay Johnson, I would have thought that they potentially have Skeens available for today, but from all the reports I've read, it sounds like LSU is going to try the same strategy they employed last night. Because if they can get to a deciding, they're calling it the if necessary game against Wake Forest, they'll have Skeens on full rest. And LSU is probably going to be a favorite in that game just because of how dynamic and dominant Skeens is. So it's a really weird spot tonight where it almost makes this feel like a pseudo, if that is the case, right? If it is Skeens, they're saving for the second game. This feels like an elimination game in some senses for Wake Forest. And the first time these two teams played in the winner's bracket over the weekend, everybody and their mother was on LSU for reasons that are sort of unexplainable, because I think it was just a name brand thing. Mm-hmm. And they got all the money, all the bets, and Wake Forest got bet down from, I think, $1.80 favored all the way down to $1.50 or $1.60. And Wake ends up winning the game 3-2. That seems like we're seeing a similar thing happen right now. Wake opens in the $1.50 range overnight with the assumption that it is not Skeens pitching for LSU. And I'm seeing it all the way down already to, you know, minus 135, 140. So I'm going to wait and see. And again, that's what makes this stuff so tricky. You have to wait sometimes later than you would want to. But if it is not Skeens, assuming that's the case, if LSU is going with this pseudo bullpen strategy and LSU continues to take money, I'll be back on Wake Forest today. And I'm not afraid to back them here as a sub 150 favorite.
So let's just put what Ben is saying in context. So Paul Skeens is considered the best pitching prospect since Steven Strasburg. Like, he's that good and ought to be the number one pick in the MLB draft. So this is, and now this is where the format of the College World Series we have to do the translation again. The regionals was double elimination. Then the super regionals was a best of three. And now we have a combination of those two things. The best of three remains for when it's the final two teams, but you have a double elimination happening right now. But the games today featured teams that have won zero and one and that have lost zero games and one game. So Florida and Wake in their respective games, they can lose today and they will still go on and meet in the rubber match. If TCU or LSU lose, they're done, and their opponent moves on to the final College World Series best of three. So the Skeens thing is particularly amazing because LSU either says, well, we have to win this one, so we must pitch him today to get to the next game, or let's take what you just said, or it's a de facto elimination game for Wake Forest because they'll hold Skeens, and if they can't beat LSU today, oh boy. So,
correct.
No idea what to do quite yet at this point in the morning. If it's not Skeens, you're going Wake Forest. What about the game before where you hold the 40-1 on TCU, where Florida is a minus 180 favorite to knock out your TCU team?
Correct. And I'm, you know, you said earlier there are a couple books you can bet in game. I'm just going to cross my fingers, Gil, and hope that the logistics are operational today, because I'm going to need to have some money in those accounts to potentially get an in-game hedge out on the TCU ticket. I'm not going to bet it pregame. You know, having to pay $1.80 price on Florida is it's a little bit rich. And the thing is, they are throwing Jack Caglione, who people are calling Jack Tani. He's this great two-way player for Florida. At least I expect them to today. He hasn't pitched all postseason. And so the one big knock on Florida has been their starting pitching and the lack of longevity, but their starting pitchers really out of nowhere have been tremendous. And Hunter Waldrop was just dealing the other day. So you have Waldrop and combined with their other main weekend starting pitcher, Brandon Sproat, it's been all quality starts so far. They've been getting great depth. Caglione, though, with all the attention on him, he struggled at the plate. He's just one for eight with a walk so far. So I'm not sure what we're going to get out of him in his first start, and that's why I want to wait. TCU at least has a good amount of bullpen arms they did not have to use yesterday in that Oral Roberts game. They could go back to Colt Klecker, their stud freshman. So I'm going to wait and see. That will be an in-game decision, though, as far as TCU and Florida.
I'm glad you got futures left, because as I said the other day, all mine are gone. I'm still bitter about Texas losing the ball in the lights against Stanford, knocking out my last one.
That was tough.
It's such an entertaining tournament. Yeah. Ben, enjoy. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Ben Wilson, everybody. He'll be more famous than everybody here at VSiN. TCU, the darling in college football, now the darling in college World Series. We'll come back. Mike Pritchard on the NFL. Now.